Hello, everyone. Good morning, especially to those of you on the West Coast. So we'll settle in as everyone's gathering. Almost there. And there we go. We're all here who are attending live. So, welcome to our mini retreat this weekend, coinciding with the spring equinox. Living in real time, multidimensional. What is it? Living it real living in real time, multidimensional. I forgot the title. Anyway, that's what we're going to be working with here this weekend. And it's very exciting to be meeting together the day after the equinox. We really went through the eye of the needle and have come out the other side of a huge dimensional shift. I wasn't sure if it would be that evident within 24 hours of the actual equinox event. But it is tremendously powerful and brings us into an entirely available new consciousness that is nothing that we've experienced in our lifetime, or probably the last 6,000 years on this planet, maybe on other planets and other dimensions, but not here for a long, long, long time. And so it's very exciting and very different. And we're going to be going through and supported to go through some major shifts and adjustments. So this workshop, when I planned everything in October and November, was timed to help us navigate the shift, to bring our frequencies into alignment with the shift, and help us set a course for the rest of the year that allows us to genuinely, deeply come into resonance with this new reality. I'll just pause for a moment as our guides are gathering. And this is why I made this a requirement for those of you who are taking the sacred circle ceremonial. I'm changing it to facilitator training, the name of it instead of leadership. Leadership just felt really old school, old paradigm. And now that the new paradigm is here, I'm able to shift it to facilitator and have Tracy working on changing the words and the graphics, and I'll change it on the website. But it couldn't happen till today. So take a deep breath. And we'll settle in. And I hope you're feeling some happiness today. As I look out my window into the back forest, the birds are having a ball today. It looks like Walt Disney created the scene. There are so many different birds coming to our feeders and flying around the yard and hopping around the yard and engaging with all the budding plants and trees. It truly does feel like a traditional spring energy. So, we'll meet this morning and we'll have a break or two, depending on how long we're meant to go this morning. And then we'll have an hour and a half lunch break. And then I will send out another link. And luckily, everything's working today. And so you should have that link in your mailbox within a half hour of when we end the morning session. And then we'll have the afternoon session, and we'll have a break during that time too. And this should be more of a relaxing, not striving type of retreat. And so there's going to be a very big focus on learning to relax by being supported by the source energies. And that's an important teaching this weekend that we'll be coming back to over and over again. So, is there anything that anyone needs to bring up right now? Anything that I've missed? Anything that I didn't do right with the technology? Let me know, or any comment you'd like to make. Okay. It is getting harder and harder for me to align with algorithms and computer programs. My energy is just not in that controlled space. So I do try, and last couple of days I was not very successful. And hiring an assistant costs a lot of money these days, and I really try to keep the costs of the programs reasonable because I want them to be affordable. And so I end up doing everything myself. And we'll see how long I can do that. Things are changing very quickly. We'll see where my path leads, where your path takes you. And I know that everyone here has a beautiful foundation and a beautiful connection to spirit and to your heart. And I don't feel like anything's going to be majorly different, but I just want you to know you have a very good foundation. And that each step we take is a step that opens the next step. And that's all we can say right now. And I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like we have to take tiny steps for things to open up right now. Just one little email, one little connection to a doctor's office or to whatever you're ordering or connecting to. And then You have to take the next step and the next step and next step. And it requires an enormous amount of patience to move through the density of the chaos. And that's where your strong foundation is going to help be helpful for you. Any comments about that?
Yeah, this is Mark. Yeah, I'm feeling the need to be just more conscious and more present in every act. And when I don't do that, I just get kind of really deep and dense, I guess. So I'm much more aware of that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you on behalf of all of humanity.
Okay.
It helps us all.
Yes.
Anyone else want to comment of what on what they've been noticing lately?
I'll say that for me, I just notice I need to do a lot less than I used to do, and just like I commented on the other group page about just taking these pauses more frequently, and that's just been it's been very delightful for me.
I probably about 25 years ago, I noticed the same thing. It was like I was doing a third in a day of what I used to do.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
it's amazing how that shifts and
Yeah.
how much better it feels. Great,
Exactly.
great. Okay. So take a note right now and just give yourself a reference point for how you feel your energy is right now. What are you radiating into the world? What are you emitting? What frequency, what color, what tone? Not to judge it, no judging. Let it come to you intuitively. A sense of what your frequency is saying to the world. And let's hear a few descriptions of what you experienced. Anyone can share.
This is Laura. A low boil.
Say that
A low boil.
again.
This like flame, that kind of orangey with that purpley blue tint to it, kind of on my cheeks and my feet and my legs. It doesn't really feel like it's all the way up my body. It just feels like this, like when you turn on a gas stove and you turn it down kind of low, and that ember radiating feel.
I love that. That's a wonderful description without any overlay, any judgment. It just is a beautiful, intuitive sense. Thanks, Laura. That was great. Anyone else?
This is Ananda, and I'm also having this just incredible spring day around me. Three wild geese just landed on my pond, and I'm just feeling so much joy and happiness. I was actually crying because everything is just so beautiful. And the toroidal field feels like it gives me a way to share that, like that the flow is not blocked or obstructed. I can just let it stream.
Nice, beautiful. Thank you. How about anyone else?
I feel like the flow is, I'm being breathed. Like it's wafting. Just a little tension. Some pulsing.
What does the tension look like?
I don't see it, I feel it.
Let a color come to you.
Okay.
It would have come instantaneously.
Initially, I would say white.
How else would you describe it if it wasn't a color?
I guess like a stopper. It's got some heat to it.
A stopper. In
Like
what
a
sense?
block.
Ah,
Like a block.
okay, good. Okay, anyone else?
This is Renee. I tuned into my felt experience and I had an image of beautiful shades of green and blue, almost like flames, rising up and enveloping me. And I feel so at peace and I'm outside in my backyard and the birds are singing and I feel like I'm being bathed in music. It's really, it's I'm having a beautiful entry into this weekend.
Wonderful. So let's enhance what we've got going right now, and let's come down to the calf muscles. And invite them to soften and release. So we can be in a beautiful state, and each of you described a beautiful state. And we want to make sure the full body consciousness is involved. So, Renee, if you would be willing, what happens when you went down to your calf muscles?
Oh, the usual tightness.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what's happening is you're in inviting them to soften and release.
Oh, they feel like they're melting.
Aha.
Yeah.
Melting. Okay. And is there a sense that you're starting to include more of your being in that beauty that you're feeling?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Anyone else want to comment on their calf muscles and what's happening as they're shifting into that?
Yeah, it's Fran.
Mm-hmm.
And as I moved into my calf muscles and lovingly invited them to soften and release, a sense of more aliveness came into my body and my being, which gives me joy.
Me too. All of us.
Yeah,
We
and
should, we, yeah, go ahead.
Tracy's post on our class page from last night or yesterday was so beautiful to me. It was such a wonderful reminder of how much my being and soul craves aliveness. Whether I'm obtaining, experiencing that by being within my body and my body is alive, or if I'm out walking on this land and as opposed to focused on how many, walking up and down and exercising, I open and allow all of the beautiful sounds and smells and noise and visuals. It's such a beautiful difference and such a timely reminder to me.
And how often we forget.
Oh, yeah, sadly so.
I
Yes, it feels like a shift, though. It just feels like it's time for that to truly shift from an inner knowing place without pushing, without efforting.
Beautiful,
Thank you.
wonderful.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Let's share some more about this. This is a really important piece for us to emphasize today, and to, like Fran said, time to include this in our practice and our awareness, and how easy it is to forget. We can be in a beautiful state, but we can forget about the body. And if we want to have our spiritual, beautiful frequency come through all the way into our words, our body, our way we live, we've got to include these calf muscles. They're critical. So tell me what else happened to you when you focused in on your calf muscles.
Kim, when I dropped into the calves and I felt the pelvic floor and my tailbone really drop in, drop lower, and then I had more waves of light, upward waves of light that felt soothing, definitely soothing to that block that I was speaking of earlier.
Mine got tingly, which is unique. Like I guide my clients through this relaxation, and we get to the calf muscles. Sometimes I'll feel mine also sort of soften and melt, like someone else described. But like I've never had the tingly before, so that was interesting.
Nice. That's fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. And also, when you were guiding Kim to sense a color, as soon as you gave her that prompt, like my whole field lit up in this beautiful purple. So that
Yeah, this is fun stuff. Yeah.
too.
Okay. Ananda, you're on. Are you
Yes,
there?
this my traditional I it's easy for me to go into these bliss explosions.
I like that bliss explosion. That's perfect. Okay.
So, historically, always when that happens, it's like I'm going up. I'm going up. And so it's been a beautiful deepening for me to be consciously, you know, feeling my body, feeling my feet. And in fact, what moved me to tears earlier this morning was when I could feel my energetic roots intertwine with the trees around me. And it was so beautiful. It just was like overwhelming. So I definitely feel it's been just more grounded, more body-centered experience for me that I'm repeating over and over and over again. And I feel like I've really moved out of that pattern now of just, you know, bliss bomb up in the ethers, and then I don't embody any of it.
Hallelujah. I like that bliss bombing. I like that term. That makes sense.
It's Carolyn.
Uh-huh.
So I notice on my right side a lot, just a real tightness, a thickness on my whole right side of my body, but starting to feel a little bit of a lot more energy pulsing through, but just such a heavier weight.
And you're patiently allowing it to open up.
Yes.
Can everyone see how much of a difference this makes? Let's talk about this some more. This is the difference being able to live multidimensionally and not. We have a lot more to go through, but this is, I think, the step that everyone will take from this retreat, really getting this inclusion and how important this earth body consciousness is for us. Coming out of the old paradigm, you know, the body was sinful. That's what we were taught. And so were women, by the way. And we were taught that too. And look what we're finding out.
Sarah, this is Lakshmi.
Mm-hmm.
Lovingly inviting my calf muscles to relax is a little bit challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm trying or doing it now, I feel the air around my calves, like having a little bit of static energy. And as I'm talking to you, I'm also feeling it a little bit spreading a little.
Beautiful. Static is a great word to describe the type of tension that we all accumulate. I want you to know everyone accumulates it there, okay? Mm-hmm. Not just you, but static is a beautiful word for that. It's that kind of energy. It's just chaotic tension energy. And like I said before, the calf muscles are the first muscles to trigger in fight flight. And so we don't really come out of fight flight until we learn how to consciously soften these. And the reason we have to consciously do it is because everyone around us isn't doing it. We actually live in a culture that's in constant fight flight. Maybe if we, I keep imagining that the surfers on the Hawaiian Islands are not living in fight flight. Maybe they don't. Maybe there's other areas of US mentality that are not living in fight flight, but predominantly everyone is. So the minute you join with the culture, just automatically tighten up there. And it takes practice. It takes conscious practice. Are they starting to soften some more, Lakshmi?
A little bit of tingling, and it's also flowing down into my feet.
There you go. You
Thank you.
just like talking to me.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said you just like talking to me. Okay, so that does open up the channel. So how else are we doing with our calf muscles? Who else?
There, it's Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I invited them to open and release whatever tension might be inside, and they both expanded, and in that expanded, it was like the heavy energy that was in the middle of the expanse started moving through. The left calf typically is more open than the right calf. The right calf, I tend to have a bunch of tension. I think it's compensation for structural stuff going on in the hips and the lower back. And so that takes a little bit more time to work through. But there's a second piece that without the complete relaxation for myself, without the complete relaxation of my hips and my lower back and my seat, that's a conscious, a separate conscious relaxation process I have to complete before there's really a connection between the two.
Fantastic comment. The comment about the compensation for structural issues and the fact that you take it to this next level and work with your individual body and getting to know the pathway to that place where you come to an integration. And each one of us has to work with how we compensate for any stress points and structural issues that we have, because they're all unique to us. Each one of us, psychological, physical, everything. And thank you for making the point that you have to take it to the next step to fully work with your unique configuration and get to know that. I think that's important for everyone to hear.
The comment was helpful for me too, because I kind of feel like I've got like the left side is flowing and the right side has this level of density, but it's almost like a yin yang kind of thing where there's a lot of solidity or strength in the right and a lot of flow in the left. So it's like, yeah, it's just, I can feel the difference. And there is a little bit of a, I think on my right side too, a little bit of things that I'm working with physically too. But that was a helpful comment for me.
Good. So if we stop talking and come on down to the calf muscles, we'll spend a few minutes not talking and see how that influences the calf muscles when you're able to fully come into yourself without focusing outward. Mark, how's the right and left shifting now that you could just focus inward without listening?
The right is relaxing a little more. It's still a little denser than the left, but I'm going to continue to focus on the left to help balance the right.
Okay. I want you to notice the difference between the outward focus and the inward focus, and where that shows up.
You feel more heat overall, inwardly focusing. It also feels more balanced now.
Okay. I my whole computer just went through an update and knocked me off, and I had to come back on. Did anyone else get knocked off? Are we all we have one more person than we had before. Are we all here?
We didn't even know you were gone.
Yes.
That's how relaxed we were.
It's pretty seamless, Sarah. It's impressive.
It like flashed five updates and then boom, it was gone. And then I was knocked off and had to come back on. Okay, well, I'm glad. But there we go, the new energy. That's so funny. Okay.
This
You see me in technology, it's just crazy. Who is gonna, Ananda, is that you?
Yes, this I just was reflecting on this empath. I'm very good at when I'm in nature or in a spiritual gathering, I just feel, the beauty around me and the energy, and I just resonate with it so beautifully. And it's extremely difficult for me to be with groups of people because I don't have that inner stability to maintain, my my integrity and my sovereignty. So it's a new balance for me instead of expanding and drinking in to be. It's almost like I'm, narrowing the focus down to the body and really learning for the first time in my life to pay more attention.
And Ananda and I have, and a few other people have been involved with the Sufi path for a long time. This is where I diverged from the Sufi path because there wasn't enough of this embodied grounding in the teachings I was being exposed to.
Yes, and when I'm in one of these gatherings, I get so radiant and so bright because there's just so much light. But the it's because I'm resonating and reflecting with what's going on around me. And then this is a new path for me to learn to try to allow this to flow from within and not just, I mean, it's almost like a knee-jerk thing. I attune myself to my surroundings. And it's a very, very different focus and a hard at first because it felt like, wait a minute, I'm narrowing down to something that's not nearly as beautiful and wonderful as the spring day around me. Because then it's like, oh yeah, I've got these little glitches and tight places here and there in my body that I was happier ignoring.
I know it, and it does bring these things up to our awareness. And the grounding, connecting with Mother Earth, helps us take in that information in a more loving, kind way than our culture has trained us to do. That's so. So there's no spiritual bypass here. And it's really interesting. I mean, the ecstatic states, which I love as well, and can go into very easily, are beautiful and necessary. You receive a lot from them. But we have to have a modality to be able to integrate them into our embodied consciousness and make them a full continuum. And they are a full continuum. It's just in the old paradigm, it was taught as to be something separate, that you leave the earth and ascend to heaven, like Muhammad did, and Moses did and Abraham did and Jesus did and too. All the prophets, all the teachings from the Western mystical traditions were taught that you leave the body. The Eastern traditions, the Taoist tradition is an embodied tradition. And some of the Buddhist ones are too, and probably some of the Hindu ones, but they have much more embodied trainings and modalities than we have on the West. And so for instance, when we gather for our sacred circle ceremony, and I see the heaviness and the chaotic energies of everyone gathering who have, when they haven't been attended to in the full embodied way. So I see the light of everyone's being, but I also see the heavy, chaotic energies that are being carried into the circle. And that's why we always have to go through a grounding and a purification to bring that light into our being, into the embodied state. Then, when we do that, oh, and I have to say, the indigenous traditions all are embodied and earth-centered. But when we do that, and like Lakshmi experienced when her calf muscles opened and she could connect to the earth, that's when the full toroidal flow and connection between earth, the sun, and humans becomes a sacred ceremony. That's when we have access to source energy. That's when each person can become sovereign within the whole. All of that is taught. Those teachings come through vibrationally when we include this embodied consciousness. And so it becomes fully integrated in our being. But until we do that, until we include Mother Earth, until we include our connection with the central heart and core of the earth, we don't get the complete teachings or the complete connection to source. So that's the way of this new paradigm. And that's why I'm focusing on this at the very beginning here. This is really important to recognize as your practice point. So you can feel great, you can feel illuminated, and you can feel happy and blissful. And there's another 25% of you, 30, 40, 50% of you that's not enjoying that. That's not benefiting from it and not getting the complete source energies that you could be getting. So it's not something that's being done wrong. It's just, man, you're missing a lot that could be just wonderful. Fran, remember when we were working on the document of how can we live without this? I mean, this to me, you know, being introduced to this in 1973, too, it's been a long time. And all I've ever wanted was everyone else to enjoy it. So this is the beginning of living multidimensionally in your daily life. And these are part of the feminine teachings. So let's come down to the soles of the feet. And again, relaxing into that, softening. And if you notice that one side is more open than another, that's okay. Just be loving and patient. Yeah, we're going to get a little more spark of light in here now. Now you may notice how much heavy energy is dropping into feeding Mother Earth. That's a good thing. And being patient and allowing this process to go into its recycling mode so that the heavy energies feed Mother Earth and Mother Earth feeds us our light energies, our living energies, but that continuous umbilical cord. And as you feel yourself sinking deeper into the heart of the mother, the core of the earth, even more heavy energy releases. And more living energy comes in. And this is where we have to be very careful, because our conditioning will kick in and react and judge it and take us down with some negative self-talk. And we have to watch out for that, that we don't interrupt the process with any kind of negative self-talk. We need to see these heavy energies as the same as we see the CO2 that we breathe out. It's a function of life, of an organic nature. We don't judge the CO2 that comes out after we breathe in oxygen. We know the trees are taking it in and it's creating life for the trees. And we don't judge that the trees are exhaling oxygen, and that becomes living energy for us. This release of the heavy energies, I'm just feeling a huge clump coming off my left hip area, is the natural living process. And many times we'll interrupt it with negative self-talk, just like Ananda mentioned she didn't want to notice. And that's why in the Andean tradition, they don't talk about negative energy. They talk about light and dark. That's it. There's no judgment on it. So let's allow and notice if your tailbone is being dropped and pulled down more, if you're feeling like you're sinking into the earth more, however you're feeling this, it's releasing all that conditioning and the negativity that we pick up in the world. Penny, is that you?
Yeah, this is Penny. I have just been through a dark night of the soul, and what I'm experiencing is an unwinding of all of that. It's it's a beautiful thing to let go and embrace the earth. It's a natural, wonderful thing. And I understand what was said about maintaining an awareness of how magnificent this really is.
Who has experienced that negative self-talk interrupting?
Sarah, your analogy between the exhalation of carbon dioxide and the reciprocity with the trees was just so beautiful, because I used to think that the ultimate goal was getting to the point where we just don't have the heavy energy. And of course, intellectually, I knew that, that's not reasonable, but I think there was a energetic or emotional part that wanted to strive for that. And just, I don't judge the fact that I'm exhaling carbon dioxide ever, and that the trees need that. And so it was beautiful. So thank you for sharing that.
And can you feel how it can be an ongoing circulation?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's such a relief in a way. I didn't even think that I was holding on to so much judgment about it, but it was just a beautiful awareness that I was, and it was just, such a relief to realize, no, this is just part of the process.
Yeah, beautiful, wonderful.
I noticed the negative reflecting back when we were saying, like, oh, a percentage of people aren't feeling the bliss or the greatness of it. And like resonating in that percentage and having the like the negative of, so what's it gonna take, Carolyn?
Oh, that makes me sad that you felt like that. But that's the reflex. That's the conditioning. And I know you've experienced your true self a lot and know that. But we fall into that so easily, only because it's all around us.
I'm seeing a lot of that sense of over responsibility start to detach. And that's where a lot of the heaviness comes from for me, where I'm outside constantly thinking ahead or what do I need to do to help this person or take responsibility or things of that nature. So it's good to release that. It's not so much a negative self-talk, but it's a sense of over-responsibility.
And for women, I find that it's not as much for men what I'm going to bring up, but how much of thinking about how you look takes up your hard drive? Any comment on that?
It's Renee. I'll jump in and confess that it has taken up a high percentage of my hard drive since I was in junior high school, and it's where a significant portion of my own negative self-talk can exist in that realm, and it's been, I'm a work in progress. And it's really can be challenging to let go of that in a culture where the programming is it's so harsh. And my mother modeled what it was like to be held hostage by that, and her mother and the whole line of my ancestors going way back.
It's like a plastic mold, clear plastic mold over our being. Just sense this, and man, you can chime in. It may be different for you. I know it's different for Ken because we've talked about this. But you probably have a version of it too. But I think it lands a lot on the women. What else can you sense about this? Because this is something that we're going to be working with dissolving this weekend too. This is a big one. Takes up a lot of energy.
This is Ananda, and I found it just incredibly painful painful and intrusive when I was younger because I was very attractive and I couldn't walk up the street a couple of blocks without a lot of really intrusive leeching, you know, stares at me. And I know some women like that. I never liked it. And it's been kind of a relief for me now that I'm this heavy old lady. I just don't get that kind of attention anymore. And it's just, I'm finding it liberating.
And so feel inside of you how much of that program's still there, though. And all of us feel that. The way you'll know it is if your calf muscles are tensing up. What's happening to everyone's calf muscles?
Mine definitely tightened. And I also, what I notice around what you're talking about is looking and seeing the aging and like the loss of youthful appearance. Mm-hmm. I notice that ends up taking more hard drive than ever.
Right. Everyone feel the calf muscles because this is showing you what might be a hidden reaction. You know, you're voicing the reaction like Carolyn and Ananda, but your first indication that there's something there would be the calf muscles tightening. And how you could think one thing and have that reaction in your body. We're getting some beautiful help coming from the light axis here to help us open this up. It's kind of like opening up a infected bruise that's getting drained. So we're actually getting more help on the energetic level right now.
I wanted to give space for the women of the group to speak, but I can say for myself, certainly not speaking for all men, that it's been a struggle for me my whole life. I remember being a young boy and just one of my biggest fears was that I was going to be overweight. And, you know, I was considered a husky boy back then was the term they used. And my weight would go up and down. I tried really hard to never come off as insecure about it or whatnot. But honestly, it was an underlying sort of obsession. And now that, you know, I found myself turning 55 and I'm like, oh crap, my hairline's receding. Like that was a huge trigger for me. And I was like, well, there's something I can do about my weight, but there's nothing I can do about like my hairline receding. Oh, wow, that was eye-opening that I need to figure out how to let go of that.
I would say that you had it as strongly as women have it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I certainly.
Good.
My good friend described how her mother would wake up at 5:30 and put all her makeup on and get back into bed so that when her husband woke up, she was already done.
Oh, that's like out of a TV show. Oh my God. Yeah. So we see how this is as evolved as we have become, and we have, this is still sitting in us in some form. And we're going to be working with this throughout the weekend because this is coming in from divine guidance to work with this. And we're getting a lot of help right now, the light that's coming in, because it needs to be dissolved in ceremony and through the guidance of these luminous beings. This is how strong this is on the planet. We can't just think ourselves out of that. You know, I had a father that kept a graph and weighed me every single day when I was 8 years old, and kept a graph by the scale, you know, that kind of thing. And so we all have our bits and pieces of this. And it spreads out pretty deep into our consciousness, and we're not aware of how it prevents us from coming into full organic flow, because it is just so permeated through everything. It's like having a virus through the roots of a plant or something, or through our being. It's just there. How are you feeling right now? What's happening that we're describing this? Lakshmi, are you on?
Yes. So yeah, I have struggled with body image issues since I was young. But I've realized too, especially in a work environment, regardless of how good I'm at something, I'm still subconsciously feeling subpar, because the body image is overriding everything else. So I'm so glad when you said we're working on that this weekend, because it is such an insidious feeling that you don't, it's there all the time, but we don't realize it. And then it hits really in unexpected ways. So I'm really glad we will be working on that. And I did want to also mention just earlier when you made that analogy of the carbon dioxide and that this is a natural living process, it just freed up something in me. And I hadn't realized how much I thought the negative energy was a reflection of me. And so thank you so much for that analogy.
You're very welcome. I'm so glad. So this, you can feel, we've kind of brought it into the spotlight here, so it's pretty enlarged, but we don't realize how much it's affecting our consciousness and our reflex and reaction and trigger. It's like something that's just ready to explode in a second and create resistance. And like Lakshmi said, an insecurity and feeling less than. That is part of this programming that allowed us to be controlled, took away our sovereignty. And that was part of the low frequency of this Kali Yuga, or the period of time that we've been in a low frequency human condition. This is a symptom of low energy. So just like when your immune system goes down, your sinuses activate, you can get a fever, everything starts to kick in, you know, and you have symptoms. A symptom of low frequency human is to become controlling, manipulative, and in the most subtle ways, dominate and instill these subtle programs that allow people to become controlled, lose their sovereignty, and lose their connection, their direct connection we don't have to have a connection through a religious figure. And so you can see the patterns that developed as a result of being in a low frequency cycle of humanity. So it's a symptom. And that's an optimal way of seeing it rather than judging it. And if you can release anger and resentment to it, and that the more you build your grounding and your frequency and your flow of living energy, the more refined, the more intelligence circulates through your being, and the higher your ethics and awareness become, and the way we treat each other changes. So this is why it's so important to come into these embodied, connected states.